Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. You may be seated. There was once a story about a woman who was a prostitute. And over time, she began to get older and older, still maintaining her lifestyle as a prostitute. And as time went on, she became poorer and poorer. So she decided to devise a plan to continue keeping track of her family. And she decided that her daughter, too, was going to be a prostitute. That she would sell all that she would have, her entire lifestyle and her body, just to make ends meet. Now, as this mother was trying to figure out what to do with her life, she came by a person coming out of a church. And the church knew this woman's story and knew what she was about to do and made her kind of question what was going on by asking her this one question. Have you ever decided to go to the church for help? Now, this simple question kind of struck this woman as very kind of odd. Like it was the first time this idea even came into her mind. Go to the church for help. So what do you think the prostitute's reply was? Why would I go to a church for help? I already feel bad enough about myself. I don't need somebody else telling me more. Interesting. Sometimes I think that's how people feel about going into a church or the church itself as an institution. That it's there for the sole purpose of making you feel bad, of showing your sin, telling you that you are a sinner. Sometimes that's all that people think of when they think of church or religion or God. People tend to think of morality, doing right and wrong when they think of the church, I think. That the church's main objective is to tell us how to be good instead of how to not be good. Sometimes I think when people look at a church and they hear about what's going on in their churches, we tend to talk so much about avoiding hell that we forget about being given heaven. Very interesting when we stop and think about the perception of church. Is church the main purpose of telling you what's wrong with you and how to get better? Sometimes a veterinarian might get a good picture of what a dog's owner is like by how the dog looks and how it acts. But when we think of you and I as Christians, if somebody saw how you act or how you are, would they know who you belong to? When people see you, do they see God working in you? Or do they see you trying to be moral or immoral? I think that's the challenge for us today in 2017. The church has got a bad picture of itself as being the place where people are told that they're bad and that there's a way that they can be better. And 500 years since, we still have the same problem. But 500 years since, we've understood that there is a new way of looking at the church. There's a new way of looking at God, and there's a new way of looking at your relationship to God and the rest of the world. What might that new way of looking at ourselves, at the church, at God, be? It's the one word that's the kicker of today. We call it grace. Now, we explained a little bit with our children that came up here, but what exactly is grace when we think of it? We heard it's a big churchy word. What is grace? I tend to think of it as the best way to describe grace is God's undeserved love given to you. Or I've even heard it broken down as an acronym, GRACE. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches given to you at Christ's expense, paid for you. It's undeserved, given as a free gift. That kind of makes a little bit more sense when we think about all the different ways in which our English language uses the word grace. Maybe you've been to a restaurant and you're kind of bringing out your calculator trying to figure out your gratuity on a bill. Right? That waiter or waitress served you, they get paid for their job, but as a way of showing thanks, you give them an undeserved gift, maybe, of a healthy tip on that bill. It's out of gratitude that you do this, or graciousness from you. Or when something really good happens, when a relative or friend has a new child, or they graduate from school, you might say, congratulations. It's with grace, it's with love that I'm wishing you well. So today let's talk a little bit more about grace, and namely God's grace, because I think it changes the way we look at church, and it definitely changes the way we look at God. That God is not about, and God is not in the business of making you more of a moral person. God is in the business of saving people who are dead and are dying. That's the business God is in. So I have to wonder, what is it that is so amazing about God's grace? We sometimes sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But what is so amazing about grace? What do you think? What's so amazing about grace? Why would we want it? Why do we care? Why do we come to a church to hear about God's grace? It's because you can't get it from anywhere else. You can't get it from anybody else. What's so amazing about grace is that it's free. We live our lives, we work ourselves to death to try to make a buck. Things are always earned in our lifestyle. And we tend to think about that way when we think of God, but it's the furthest from the truth. We can't work our way into making God any more willing to live and die for you. Because he's going to do that all by himself, all alone. And I think that's the first part of understanding and answering the question, what's so amazing about grace? What's so amazing about God's love is that while you and I were still sinners, God decided to die for you. Think about that. In your most devilish, darkest moment, where you feel as if you're the farthest away from God, that's exactly when God wanted you. Sometimes I think in our lives, with our relationships, we get caught up in wanting to distance ourselves from things that are bad. Sometimes when a friend or a family member or a spouse does or says something to hurt us, either accidentally or maybe even on purpose, it's natural for us to want to get away from that, to flee from evil. But it's not the same with God. It's not the same with Jesus, our Lord. When we try to run away from God, or we distance ourselves from God willfully by our disobedience, by our sinning, by sometimes our hatred against God, what do you think God is doing? He sure isn't running away. He's actually doing the opposite. God is chasing after you, pursuing you over and over again, because he doesn't want you to be lost. He wants to restore that relationship as much as possible. Why do you think that might be? Why would God want to do that? Why would God want you? Why would God want anybody that bad that he would want to save you when you were the least worthy of saving? It's simple. It's grace. It's undeserved love. And it's something that the world does not understand. It won't understand on its own without knowing what God is and who God is and what God does. The Bible does not approach this subject of grace from the perspective that everyone is entitled to a chance. But God gives us a chance. A famous preacher once said, he was Charles Spurgeon, he says that he who thinks lightly of sin thinks lightly of the Savior. He who thinks lightly of sin thinks lightly of our Savior. And it's actually kind of a simple concept. If either God saves sinners who are dead in sin by calling them forth from the grave, where they can contribute nothing, or else sinners have something good within them that somehow, even though it's tainted or corrupted or polluted or damaged, they can work their way into God's grace. Well, if we think the opposite, if we think very highly of our sins, think about how highly we'd think of our Savior then. We all know the damage that we have caused in our lives. We all know the damage that has been caused to us when things have gone wrong, when we haven't measured up, where we haven't made up a passing grade. So when we are thought of so highly despite those moments, that makes God so much more loving. And when we realize that, we get to realize that it is solely on God's grace that we can even say or do anything good. That's the motto of the Reformation, that we are saved by grace alone. Grace alone is the only way that we can have life. Nothing else. So that's why it's so amazing. It's free when nothing in life is free. And it's given for you. And it's given for every single person out in your life, in your world. Even the people that don't want it. So, what's so amazing about you that God would want to give you his grace? Ever wonder that? What's so amazing about you and me that God would want to do this? That he would give his son to willfully die and rise for you? It's simple. You belong to him. So, what's so amazing about the people in your life today that don't actually know what grace is in their life? What's amazing is that you get the same opportunity to show what God showed you. Since you have this great privilege given to you, why not say something to somebody else? Why would somebody want to go to church? It sure isn't about being told to be feeling bad. So, once more, as we celebrate this monumental aspect of our faith, 500 years of being told of God's love, go out and show it. And you're only beginning the opportunity because of God's grace alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as we hear about God's grace.